Okay, well, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And we're going to take up where we left off. You remember I dealt with verses 1 and 2. The title of the message was Trembling at the Word. So let's begin reading Isaiah 66, and let's read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you build unto me, and where's the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I call, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. I want to call your attention just simply for a moment of review of verses 1 and 2 that I dealt with last time. And I told you that there were a number of implications that we found in verse 1. Without me re-preaching those implications, first of all, I told you that God is. Nowhere in Scripture does the Scripture try to prove the existence of God. It just assumes it. Secondly, that God has revealed himself. Certainly, the Bible says, Thus saith the Lord. So God has revealed himself not only in creation, but in special revelation, the Bible. Then, of course, I pointed out how that God is sovereign and supreme. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Next, I pointed out that God is omniscient, that is, God is all-knowing, and that God is omnipresent, that is, God is everywhere present at one time in the totality of his being. And then fifthly, I pointed out how that God is the absolute owner of everything. That's why he said, For all those things hath my hand made, saith the Lord. So if heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool, why in the world would God need anything that men could prepare for him? Moreover, you must remember that man cannot give to God that which already belongs to God. So since God then created the heaven and the earth, if you and I were to try to give him all of the heaven and all of the earth, we could only give him that which is already his. So very obviously, everything that we could give God comes from materials that God has already created. Therefore, by virtue of creation, God already possesses them. So we looked particularly at verse 2, how that it is not beautiful and magnificent buildings that pleases God, but rather it is the individual who is poor and of a contrite heart and that trembles at the word of God. I told you the word poor referred to the man who had absolutely nothing in himself. The word contrite means smitten and afflicted. So here's a man who's genuinely afflicted and smitten because of his sins, because of his rebellion, and because of his wickedness. And then he said, and that trembleth at my word. And I went through the scripture and tried to show you that trembling was equated with obedience. So very obviously then, the man who trembles at the word of God is the man who respects, who hears, who obeys the word of God and brings his life into conformity to that word. He also recognizes the fact that it is the sovereign God of heaven and earth who gave that word. Now, it's amazing to me, especially not only as you read Scripture, but as you look around, to find that there are a multitude who refuse to hear the word of God, who refuse to obey the word of God, yet nevertheless, they're going to render some lip service to God or to perform some type of ceremonial or ritual exercise to God. In other words, Their attitude is simply this: I don't really believe in God, but just in case, I'm going to do something religious just to cover my back. You know? So it's just mere lip service. Now, I want you to hold Isaiah 66, but I want you to turn to two passages. The first one, Isaiah 29, and then Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. Because I'm going to show you what the prophet Isaiah wrote, and then show you how our Lord quotes it in the New Testament. So if you'll look first of all in Isaiah 29 and verse 13, because we're dealing with individuals who give lip service to God, when their hearts, of course, are far from Him, Isaiah 29, verse 13, notice specifically what the Bible says. Isaiah 29, verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord saith, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, and have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man." Now notice what God says. Here's the people that try to draw near to Him with their lips, with their mouths, but their hearts are far from Him. In other words, their precepts that they believe about God, they have received only from the mere teaching of men. Simply put, God has never opened their eyes. God has never taught them. They are unconverted. They know about God intellectually, but they have no idea of who God really and truly is. Now, if you'll look in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, our Lord quotes from Isaiah 29 and verse 13. And look what He says. Mark chapter 7, and notice if you would verse 6. Our Lord says it like this. "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Let's go a little further. Watch verse 7. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do." And He said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition." Now notice what our Lord said. "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." So our Lord then designates the people who give Him lip service only as mere hypocrites. And He says with their lives, they're making void the commandment of God. Why? They're refusing to obey God's word while at the same time they're keeping their rituals, their ceremonies, their traditions, anything and everything that might be religious. So our Lord says these people are very plainly hypocrites. Now, if you will go back in your Bibles to Isaiah 66, in order to understand the message today, we must understand the context of Isaiah 66, verses 3 through 5. Since I've already dealt with verses 1 and 2, let me just go back for one moment and try to connect verses 1 and 2 with the context. In the context, what God is doing is condemning a people who are trusting in the temple and in the temple rituals and ceremonies. Here were a people who were living the way they pleased, yet they went to the temple, they performed the rituals, they performed the sacrifices, they went through the ceremonies, and when they had done that, they believed that they had pleased the one true and the living God. Now, let me tell you exactly what these individuals are doing. When they were going through their little lip service and going through their rituals and going through their ceremonies, they were endeavoring to do what we call localizing God. Now, the reason God said in verses 1 and 2 that heaven was His throne and earth was His footstool, you remember I pointed out that one of the implications is that God is omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere present at one time in the totality of His being. But here's what these people had done. They had localized God. They had God contained in the temple. The temple was where God was. To their estimation, to their theology, God was not sovereign, God was not supreme, God was not omnipresent, God was in the temple, because that's where they went to worship Him, that's where they did their rituals, and that's where they did their ceremonies. Now, I want to show you that is a totally and completely heathenistic and pagan concept. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 20. Because you see, the heathen had a multitude of gods. And the reason they had a multitude of gods was because no one god of theirs was sovereign and supreme. In 1 Kings chapter 20, let's begin reading there with verse 20. And of course, now the Israelites are having war with the Syrians. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, has begun the war. And so Ahab sends the young men out and they slay the Syrians. Now watch what it said. 1 Kings 20, verse 20. And they, that is the Israelites, slew everyone his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued after them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots, and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Now look, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Now skip down to verse 28. Look what God says. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because Assyrians have said, The Lord is the God of the hills, but He is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So what did the heathen say? Oh, God might rule the hills, but He can't rule the valleys. I mean, come on. One God can't rule everything. He can't possibly be sovereign. God said, Let me tell you. I'm going to destroy the Syrians again because they think that I'm a poor, anemic, limited God like their false idols. No. You see, when you try to localize God, when you try to have God in a little capsule or confined in a little space, that is pure heathenistic and paganistic philosophy. That same philosophy, that same heathenistic concept is alive and well today. Do you know why? Because most people think that they have God contained in a church building. Therefore, they go to church on Sunday. They sit there. They smile. They look syrupy sweet. They go through their little ritual. They go through their little ceremony. And the next thing you know, they go out and Monday through Saturday live the way they please without any thought to God, without any reference to His Word. And so what they do then, they think they have God contained in that building on Sunday. So when they come on Sunday, oh, they're good. And they do what they're supposed to do on Sunday. But during the week, they live the way they want to live. What are they doing? They're denying the sovereignty, supremacy, omniscience, and omnipresence of God. Such worship is absolutely unacceptable. It is paganistic. And those who foolishly try to worship God in that way and tend to think that God accepts that worship, when they know themselves that they're giving such worship from a feigned and hypocritical heart, they're only deceiving their own selves. No, God does not care for that kind of worship. God said, it's to this man that I'm going to look. The man that is poor, the man that has a contrite heart, and the man that trembles at my word, and yet people somehow think that they can fool and deceive God. And they're going to offer Him a totally unacceptable worship. Now, since people really and truly do not believe God or His Word, they're ignorant of the principle of Scripture that is revealed in Proverbs 21 and verse 27. Listen to it. Let me quote it. Proverbs 21, verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? God says, first and foremost, the sacrifice of the wicked is unacceptable anyhow. God said, I don't want to have anything to do with the wicked. I will not receive anything in his hand. But how much worse is it when he brings it with a wicked mind and still thinks I'm going to receive it? Now, I've got three simple points today. I want you to see them. First of all, I want you to see the declaration in verse 3. Look what God says. And you have to understand verse 3 in light of verses 1 and 2. Verse 3, he that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Now, when the wicked seek to bring sacrifice or worship to God, it is unacceptable. When he does so with a wicked mind, it is doubly and completely unacceptable. In fact, it is blasphemous. It is idolatry. In fact, God declares such worship no better than idolatry, for it is idolatry. They are not worshiping the one true and the living God. They are worshiping a god of their imagination. Now listen carefully. All worship or all sacrifice that is not rightly offered is unacceptable. Now what do I mean when I say all worship not rightly offered? When we worship God, we must worship him, first of all, with a due sense of sin. We're sinners. We're wicked. We've sinned against God. The second thing we must understand is, along with that due sense of sin, there must be genuine godly sorrow for it and repentance for that sin. And thirdly, that worship must be offered in faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. God cried out against ritualism and ceremonialism, and I'm going to include another word, churchism, all through the Bible. Over and over, God said, I'm not satisfied with just mere ceremonies. I want you to turn in your Bibles, first of all, to Isaiah 1. And then if you would, turn to the book of Amos chapter 5. And let me just show you how God has consistently cried out concerning this false and unacceptable worship. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. So you can find Amos right after the book of Joel. And we will read Amos chapter 5 second, but turn first of all to Isaiah chapter 1, if you would please. Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll begin reading there with verse 10. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. And I want you to note what God says concerning this ritualistic, ceremonialistic worship. Isaiah 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now he's talking to Israel, and yet he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what he says in verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain, that is empty, worthless, foolish, useless oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, before we turn to Amos chapter 5, let me ask you a question. Who was it that appointed these feasts and these holy days and these Sabbaths and these sacrifices? It was God. God appointed every one of them. But God says, you're bringing these sacrifices and you're bringing this worship in direct disobedience to my word. And God says, it is totally and completely unacceptable. I'll not hear it. I'll not have it. I will not receive it. Now look in your Bible's Amos chapter 5. It's even stated more clearly. Amos chapter 5, notice verse 21. Boy, you're talking about pointed. Here's what God says concerning their worship. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Wow. Now go back in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 66, because I want you to see, if you understand Isaiah 1, if you understand Amos chapter 5, how the people were going through mere rituals and mere ceremonies, and at the same time giving worship to God out of feigned, that is, hypocritical lips and hearts and minds, you will understand Isaiah 66 and verse 3. Here is what such worship is like unto God. He says, if you will look in Isaiah 66 and verse 3, first of all, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that killeth an ox. Now, an ox was given for sacrifice. But God says, now he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. Murder is a violation of the sixth commandment. The context, I believe, indicates it is a very special kind of murder. You remember how in the Old Testament some of the children of Israel offered their children in sacrifice to Moloch. And sometimes, which the Bible extremely condemns, men and women also were sacrificed to false idols. And God condemns ritualistic, ceremonial murders to appease the gods. And God says that Israel had come to the place where they slew an ox. It was as if they had murdered a man. Now, let me tell you the real impact of murder. Let's suppose that Ed pulls out a pistol and murders Don. That's bad. We say, boy, Ed must have really hated Don to have murdered him. It's not that he just hated Don. He hates God. Do you know what murder is? Man was created in the image of God. When you murder a man, you are attacking the image of God in that man. Thus, God then equates that as an attack upon himself. That's why God says, he that killeth an ox is as if he murdered a man. In other words, God says, I view this as a personal attack against me. Wow. I titled this message, When Sacrifice is Sin. Here are people sacrificing. And they said they were sacrificing to God. But God said, I don't accept it. I will not have it. It is sin. It is an attack upon my person. Why? Let me say this. I want you to make sure you understand it. Their lives did not back up their profession. You read Isaiah 1. You read Amos 5. In each instance, when God refuses those offerings and those sacrifices and that worship, God is saying, your life is totally and completely contrary to my word. So God says, when you try to worship me, with a heart that is empty and in rebellion to me, an ox is as if you slew a man. Look in verse 3. He that sacrificeth is a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. Now you've got to remember that in the Old Testament, there was not only the Passover lamb, there was the lamb for the daily sacrifice. So it really doesn't matter which lamb you're talking about. God says, any lamb that is slain for sacrifice, to him it would be as if he cut off a dog's neck. In other words, to cut off a dog's neck and then to offer the dog on the altar to God. To offer a dog in sacrifice to God would be abominable. It would be something that any Israelite would just simply could not stomach and could not stand even to think of such, because the dog was held as an unclean animal. But to the pagans, the dog was venerated. You remember in Egypt, it was not only dogs but cats who were venerated and worshipped. Herodotus, an early historian, says concerning the Egyptians, and I'm quoting, "In some cities, in the Egyptian cities, when a cat dies, all the inhabitants cut off their eyebrows. When a dog dies, they shave the whole body and the head." Wow. Why? They worshipped and venerated cats and dogs. Now, Joyce, he didn't say anything about birds yet. But we're going to get to those. But you understand what I'm saying. In other words, here is something that's totally and completely and unacceptable to God. God states in verse 3 of Isaiah 66 that the spirit, that the disposition and attitude with which they sacrificed a lamb was as hateful in His sight as if they had sacrificed a dog. In other words, God was not pleased at all with their worship. He would have none of it, because that worship, of course, came from feigned and hypocritical lips. Notice next what He says in verse 3. "He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood." Now, the oblation was the meal offering. The meal offering was made of fine flour on which oil was poured and frankincense was sprinkled, according to Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 1. Yet now what God says is this: no matter how rightly composed this oblation or meal offering is, doesn't matter that you brought the finest of the meal, doesn't matter that you've got the oil in the proper amount and the frankincense in the proper amount, God says now, it is no more esteemed in His sight than if the worshiper had offered swine's blood. Of course, you know, according to Leviticus chapter 11, swine or pig or hog was not only unclean to the touch or to the eating, but certainly for worshiping God. God said, "I'll not have it." All of this is going back now to the heart or to the disposition or to the spirit or to the attitude. Here are people whose lives were absolutely contrary to God, and yet at the same time, they're trying to worship God. And God says, it's as if you're offering swine's blood to Me. Look what else He says in verse 3. "He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol." He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Now, incense was burned for a memorial for mercies. It was offered in thankfulness for the mercies that had been received. And incense was constantly and continually burned for a remembrance offering, that is, to keep up in the mind the remembrance of God and all of His multitudinous mercies. Now God says, "He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol." In other words, the man was not genuinely thanking God. He was not genuinely remembering God. How could he? His life was completely contrary to the commands of God. Consequently, God says, "I'll not have it." I hope you see that what God condemned in Israel in old, He likewise condemns today. You have multitudes of people who are interested merely in rituals and ceremonies and in going to church. And so many think if they come in and plop down on a pew and sing a few songs, throw a few quarters in the offering plate and listen to a 15-minute sermonette, well, then they worship God. That's not true, because worship is more than external. Do you remember what our Lord said in John 4 and verse 24? He said, "God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." So first of all, if there is not the realm of truth, if there is not His Word, it is not worship. And secondly, if man's spirit, if man's heart is not involved, it is not worship that is acceptable unto God. God says on the one side, there must be truth. On the other side, the heart must be involved in that truth. It's kind of like David said in Psalm 103 and verse 1. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." So it's not just that we bless the Lord with truth. We do so with all that is in us. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, hold Isaiah 66. But look in Jeremiah chapter 7. Notice what God says. Jeremiah 7. And let's begin reading there with verse 22. Jeremiah 7, verse 22. Notice he says this. Jeremiah 7, verse 22. "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day when I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning the burnt offerings or sacrifices. Look, but this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." God said, "What did I tell you when I brought you out of the land? I told you I wanted first and foremost your obedience. That's what I wanted. I wanted a loving, submissive obedience." Each of us should remember the truth that Samuel enunciated to King Saul. You remember, you don't have to turn there, but you remember in 1 Samuel 15, God had sent Saul on that mission and told him to slay all of the Amalekites, man, woman, boy, girl, children, ox, ass. God said, kill everything. You remember how Saul and the people spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. And when Samuel started approaching, Saul said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I performed all the commandment of God." And about that time something went back, moo. And Samuel said, "Saul, if you've obeyed God, what meaneth the blading of the sheep and the lowing of the ox in mine ears?" And here's what Saul said, "The people spared them that we might sacrifice them to God." And then Samuel gave these classic words. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams." And then he went on, "For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." What was the punishment for witchcraft? Death. What was the punishment for idolatry? Death. What did Samuel say? "Hath the Lord as great delight in sacrifice and offering as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams." Samuel went on to tell Saul, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So when God gives this declaration in Isaiah 66 and verse 3, he's saying, "Your worship, your sacrifice is totally and completely unacceptable unto me." Now, notice secondly in Isaiah 66 and verse 3, why? Go back there, Isaiah 66 and verse 3, and now you have the delight. Here is why it is totally unacceptable. He says, "Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations." They have chosen their own ways. They did not choose God's ways. They chose their own. "Moreover, their soul delighted in their abominations." Do you remember when Joshua brought the people across the river? He told them this in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He said, "If it seems evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Notice, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I said, make up your mind, who are you going to worship? Are you going to be heathenistic? Are you going to be pagan? Or are you going to be Christian? You know, there's a point here that you and I really need to consider, and that is this. Without the grace of God, without the mercy and power of God in our lives, every one of us would choose the pagan gods. It is only God's grace that has brought us to His truth. The interesting thing is this. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse 3, yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. And the word delighteth in the Hebrew means to take pleasure in, to delight in, and to look upon with favor. So here were these people who not only chose that which was wicked and wrong, but they delighted in it. They liked it. They wanted it. They enjoyed it. Look in Isaiah 65, verse 12 there. Isaiah 65, verse 12. Look what God tells them. Isaiah 65, verse 12. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Why is God going to bring His judgment upon them? Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did not choose that wherein I delighted not. God said, you didn't choose what I delighted in. You chose what you delighted in, and I do not delight in that which you delight in. Therefore, said God, I'll measure you to the sword. In Proverbs 1 and verse 29, God again says, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Man by nature will not choose the way of the Lord. If you would look in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1, I want you to see the same condemnation is against sinners in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament. Notice the book of Romans chapter 1. And of course, in this passage, God is condemning sodomy and fornication and all kinds of wickedness. But look what He says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. This is amazing to me. Romans 1 verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. So here are people who have seen God's judgment, or at least have heard about it. They know that God is righteous. They know that God is just and holy. Notice, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Isn't that interesting? Do you realize even the judgment of God, apart from the grace of God, is insufficient to convert anyone? I've heard people say, well, what we need in this country is a good dose of God's judgment. Well, we're already getting a pretty good dose of it. And it's probably going to get worse, but may I remind you that judgment without mercy will only lead to destruction. So these Israelites not only chose what was contrary to God in His Word, but they delighted in their abominations. The word abominations in the Hebrew refers to detestable things, that which is abominable and filthy. It is also a word for idols. So they delighted in their idolatry, and the abominations and filthiness of idolatry. Here the Israelites in Isaiah 66 were vicious and immoral in their conduct. and they chose the way of sin rather than the way of God's commandments. They took pleasure in provoking God, and they took pleasure in doing that which was offensive to God, and then they came and offered a sacrifice, and that is what made their sacrifice so totally unacceptable to God. He said, your lives are completely contrary to what you're saying in worship. In other words, what you're doing is an affront to me. It's an insult to me. It's a denial of my sovereignty. It's a denial of my omniscience and my omnipresence. I know what you do. I know what you are. I know what you think. And yet you come around trying to fool me. You can't fool God. Look what he said in Isaiah 66 and verse 4. Look at Isaiah 66 and verse 4. He says in the latter part, I spake, but they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. They did evil before mine eyes. In other words, they really did not believe that God could see them or would know what they were doing. Or if they did, they certainly did not care what he saw. The very fact that he was God did not deter them at all. How in the world could they expect their sacrifices or their worship to be acceptable unto God when their lives were completely contrary to the Word of God? Let me tell you something, folks. It is a serious sin to affront God. It's a serious sin to insult God. You know what he said in John chapter 5? Listen carefully. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. You insult Jesus Christ, you insult God the Father. You dishonor God the Son, you dishonor God the Father. And here these people were delighting in that which was an affront to God and a denial of his person and his attributes. Now let me ask a question. Will God allow such to go on? The answer is no. Look, if you would, at verse 4, because now I want you to see the delusions. You've seen the declaration, the delight, now the delusions. Look in verse 4. God says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Why? Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. To me, this is an exceedingly frightening truth. Look again at verse 4. God said, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Are you listening? When men will not believe the truth, they will believe a lie. If men will not listen to the sovereign God of heaven and earth, then to whom will they listen? Think about this. If God is not your ultimate, if God is not your sovereign, if God is not your source of authority, then may I ask, who is? If you're not going to listen to God, to whom then will you listen? Well, let me show you. Look in your Bibles to Isaiah 30, not Isaiah, but Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 17. Deuteronomy 32, verse 17. Just several verses real quickly. Deuteronomy 32. Look in verse 17. If men will not hear God, to whom will they listen? Well, here's an answer. Deuteronomy 32, verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And then he says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. If you won't listen to God, you're going to listen to false gods. You're going to listen to devils. You're going to listen to error and heresy. Look in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Turn right over to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. And notice verse 15. 2 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. Second Chronicles 11, verse 15. And he ordained him priests for the high places, and for the devils, and for the calves which he had made. Talking about Jeroboam, son of Nebat. And notice he ordained him priests for the high places, and for the devils, and for the calves which he made. If you won't listen to God, to whom will you listen? Look in Psalm 106 and verse 37. Watch this declaration. Psalm 106, verse 37. Psalm 106, verse 37. Since you will not sacrifice to God, since you will not listen to God, here's the result. Psalm 106, verse 37. In fact, let's read verse 36. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. And they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring in their own inventions. Now, interestingly enough, God says that if you won't listen to him, you're going to listen to a devil. You're going to listen to an idol. Look in your Bibles to Isaiah 44 on your way back to Isaiah 66. Look in Isaiah 44 and verse 20. I said earlier, if you will not believe the truth, you will believe a lie. Isaiah 44 and verse 20. And God talks about the man who worships an idol. Isaiah 44, verse 20. He feedeth on ashes. Now look, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? A deceived heart has turned him aside. Let me just quote Obadiah 1 and verse 3. Obadiah 1 and verse 3 says this, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Men who will not hear God will hear devils. Those who refuse to listen to the word of God will listen to wicked, deceitful hearts. False prophets, deceivers, and evil spirits will lead them astray. One is either going to walk in truth or is going to walk in error. And there is no truth outside of the Word of God. All of those who refuse to bow to the Word of God, in essence, will bow to error and heresy and lies and deceit. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sure you are familiar with this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin reading there with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Why are there so many people deceived? I'm going to answer that for you in just a moment. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Watch now. Having a form of godliness, ritualism, ceremonialism, churchism, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, that is God himself, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with their sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these men also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So if you resist the truth, if you will not have the truth, the only thing left is error. The only thing left is a lie and is a deceit. Now, notice what God said in Isaiah 66. Go back to verse 4 of Isaiah 66. Look what he says. Isaiah 66, verse 4. God says, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon him. I find it absolutely amazing that those who will not hear the Word of God consistently will very quickly, easily, and readily listen to false prophets. Isn't that amazing? People will not listen to the truth, and yet they'll listen to lies on a regular basis. Look how quickly the people in the days of Jesus Christ listened to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and refused to listen to Christ. Our Lord said in John 5 and verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You take preachers who try to build up and glorify and honor Jesus Christ and preach the Word of God, and they have small works. And you take preachers who try to glorify themselves and deceive the people, they have a large following. Isn't that amazing? But do you know why? Because when people will not believe the truth, they will believe error. Are you listening? This is known, or this is another example of what is known as the lex talionis of Scripture. Lex talionis is just simply Latin for the law of retribution. God makes the punishment fit the crime. Now, when God says in verse 4, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, here's what God says. I will be no kinder to them than they are to me. They want to choose to mock and deceive me? Fine, says God. That's what they think they can do. Now, I will choose their delusions. I'll bring their fears upon them. They had their way and how they treated the Lord, and now the Lord says, I'll have my way and how they're treated. He will make them perish by their mockeries. He will always do it according to His Word. Let me show you. I want you to turn to Leviticus 26 and then Deuteronomy 28. Turn, if you would, please, to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. And let's begin reading there with verse 66. I could read practically the whole chapter, but look in Leviticus 26 and verse 60. That's not the one, is it? 16, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy is next. That's the 66. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 16. Look what God says. 26 and verse 16. When they refuse God's law, when they refuse God's commandments, when they refuse God's word, God says this is what's going to happen. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet hearken, if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. By the way, look in verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power. Turn to Deuteronomy 28, and there's verse 66. Deuteronomy 28, verse 66. Notice I'm just showing you that whatever God chooses, He's going to do it according to His law. Deuteronomy 28, and verse 66. Oh, watch carefully now. This sounds familiar. Deuteronomy 28, verse 66. This is still the curse for disobeying God. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would to God it were evening. And in the evening thou shalt say, would it God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you, that is, no man shall redeem you out of that bondage. Now, go back in your Bibles to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, again now, look at verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 65, verse 11. We read verse 12 earlier, but not in the context of verse 11. Isaiah 65, verse 11. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, that is those idols, and that furnish the drink offerings unto that number, the number of those idols. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil in before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now look what God says. God said, you've chose to mock me, now I shall mock you. You chose to try to deceive me, now you shall be deceived. And God said, I'm going to number you to your enemies. I'm going to destroy you. And you know, I can hear someone saying, wow, boy, I'm glad I didn't live in the Old Testament times. I mean, God was just, and He really dealt with those people. Oh, may I remind you that God is immutable. God does not change. The lex talionis, the law of retribution, does not change. What did God say? God said, you chose to try to deceive me. You chose to try to delude me. Now, says God, I shall choose your delusions. I'll bring your fears upon you. Do you realize the same principle is applied today as it was applied in Isaiah 66. When people choose their own ways and prefer their will above God's will and their word above God's word, and they think they can fool God, God will choose their delusions. You say, show me that in the Bible. Thank you for asking. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's begin reading there verse 11. Here it is stated very plainly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. In fact, let's begin with verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Look what the Scripture says. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, why are they perishing? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't want truth. Watch verse 11. And for this cause, What cause? Because they would not receive truth. They would not have it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now the word delusion in the Greek is the word plane, and it refers to one who is led astray, one who holds an error, one who holds a fraud, one who believes a deceit. God says, because they refuse the truth, I will send them a strong delusion. Let me show you at least four things very quickly. First, I want you to note that this is an act of God. Look what the Bible says in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. So this is a work of God. It is something that God does. God sends a strong delusion. Secondly, there's a cause or reason for Him sending that delusion, and that is because they believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Thirdly, the consequence of that delusion is those who refuse to believe the Word of God will believe a lie. And fourthly, the ultimate result of that delusion is that those who believe a lie will be damned. Wow. You want to know where most people are today? They're deluded. They're deceived. Why? Because they refuse to believe the truth. Let me make just a couple of applications. The first one is very simple. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, God declares, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Notice what God says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will brook no rivals. It does not matter whether it is a man or an idol that seeks to claim God's glory and seeks to promote their own sovereignty and their own supremacy over the one true and the living God. That man who does so, or that idol, shall be destroyed. Why? God is God alone. Men may like playing God, but they shall be destroyed by the one true and the living God for their play acting. Secondly, we must understand that those that delight in that which is contrary to God shall be deceived by their delights. God is going to choose their delusion. God will see to it that they believe a lie. Do you realize it is a dangerous game to play with God? And yet there are many who think that somehow they can win a game with God. How many think, listen now, how many think that although they live like hell on earth, somehow they're going to end up in heaven when they die? Why, I go to church, don't I? Well, the Israelites went to the temple too, didn't they? How many think, well, it doesn't really matter how you live, just so you made a profession, that's what counts? I guess you've heard that before. How many believe that God will not really judge them, or that somehow God would make an exception with them? How many believe that somehow they're going to escape, they're going to get by with their sins? God may punish others, but somehow He's going to let them by. The truth is, they're deceived. And all who are deceived believe a lie. And unless they repent, they will perish in that deceit. The third application is very easy. All hypocrisy is open and known by God. You can't fool God. The Bible says the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. What's his hope? He hopes somehow that God doesn't find him out, that he didn't really mean what he said when he worshiped God and when he sacrificed to God. Because in reality, he was going to live the way he wanted to live anyhow. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. There is a time, folks, when sacrifice is sin. There is a time when worship is sin. And if you think you can delude God and get away with it, you're already deluded yourself. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would show us and teach us the importance of your word, the necessity of not only believing it, but obeying it, and constantly and continually bringing our lives into greater conformity unto it. Lord, there are so many things we do not know. Open our eyes. Teach us. Show us. As David prayed, Lord, those things which I see not, teach thou me. Give us grace that we may serve thee acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen.